Welcome to the University of Michigan Press Podcast, a monthly show featuring interviews with University of Michigan Press authors.
In 1938, the Greenwich Village nightclub Cafe Society was all the rage, and Hazel Scott was its star. Still a teenager, Scott wowed audiences with her brilliant jazz interpretations of classical masterpieces by Chopin, Bach, and others. Scott's meteoric rise to fame soon brought her to Hollywood, and by the time the studios came calling, she was powerful enough to challenge their treatment of black actors. Through the 1940s and 50s, her vivacious presence stunned international audiences, while her marriage to the controversial Congressman Adam Clayton Powell Jr. kept her constantly in the headlines. In a career spanning over four decades, Scott became known not only for her accomplishments on stage and screen, but for her outspoken advocacy of civil rights. Her relentless crusade on behalf of African Americans, women, and artists made her the target of the House Un-American Activities Committee during the McCarthy era, eventually forcing her to join the black expatriate community in Paris. By age 25, Scott was an international star, but before she reached 35, she considered herself a failure and, plagued by insecurity and depression, twice tried to take her own life. Here, Karen Chilton traces the fascinating arc of this talented and audacious American artist. Karen Chilton, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you.
So can you tell us a little bit about your book and why you decided to write about Hazel Scott?
Hazel Scott was a prolific American artist. She was a jazz pianist who fused her classical training with her love for boogie-woogie and became a popular sensation with her style of swinging the classics or jazzing the classics. Initially, I was interested in writing a book about black women expatriates. And during my research on that subject, I stumbled across Hazel Scott's name in a book of interviews with American expatriates living in Paris. I read her interview and became really intrigued. So I dug deeper and found out more about her background, her music, and her marriage to Reverend Adam Clayton Powell Jr., who was the first black congressman from New York. And what I found was a fascinating life story of a child prodigy whose breakout success at 19 years old at New York's first integrated nightclub, Cafe Society, made her an international star in the late 1930s and throughout the 40s. And in addition to her unique style of playing, I was really interested in her views on the major issues of the day, integration, civil rights, women's rights, democracy, and all of that together inspired me to write her biography, particularly when I realized that she had been so under-recognized and overlooked down through the years. And when you discover just how much she accomplished in her 40 years in the entertainment industry, it was and still is difficult to grasp how an American artist like Hazel Scott was essentially written out of history, and I hope that this book helps to reignite an interest in her legacy as an artist and an activist.
Okay. How did Hazel Scott then influence other musicians, and what sort of groundwork did she lay for future performers?
Well, during her heyday in the 40s, she was admired for her showmanship. Hazel was a vivacious performer who knew how to excite an audience. She used all of her assets to present a really great show. Her sensuality, her beauty, her charm. She had a very sharp wit. And she was often criticized for her very presentational performance style. She was accused sometimes of being less than serious, less adept than her female counterparts. And still, with all of that, she stuck to her own program. She played what she wanted to play, how she wanted to play it. Her swinging the classics became a fan favorite that helped her develop a huge following, particularly at Cafe Society, where she was the premier headliner since the club's beginnings. She was one of a handful of women instrumentalists who had some measure of success in the male-dominated world of jazz. Her contemporaries, Mary Lou Williams, who was considered the best of all of the women musicians, Marion McPartland, Dorothy Donegan, among others, I think all of them set a fantastic example for future performers, especially women. And through their dedication to the music, their prowess, their high standard of excellence, their integrity, their achievements, I think they all demonstrate to us what is possible.
Hazel Scott was obviously incredibly talented and sort of almost destined for greatness and fame, and she also associated with some of the major musicians of her era. Who were some of her Scott's musical influences?
Early in her career, Hazel had the benefit of her mother, Alma Long Scott, who was a saxophonist and band leader of an all-woman orchestra, the American Creolians. She was also often quoted as saying that her mother was the single biggest influence in her life. And because of Alma's close associations with other musicians on the scene, their house became a mecca for musicians, as Hazel called it. She sat at the side of prolific pianists Fats Waller and Art Tatum, who helped her cultivate her natural gift. And saxophonist Lester Young was also a family friend. Billie Holiday, who was very close to Alma, made it her business to help in every possible way to move Hazel's young career along. She was actually responsible for Hazel's debut at Cafe Society. When she cut her own run at the club short, she pressured the club's impresario, Barney Josephson, to hire Hazel as her replacement. And although he didn't know who Hazel was, he took a chance on her because of Billie's endorsement alone. And that night in 1939 marked a major breakthrough for both of them. Josephson told Hazel after her performance, "Hazel, you have a home here for life." He went on to make her the club's headliner and acted as her manager for a period of time. It was a very productive relationship.
Speaking of relationships, you had mentioned earlier that she was married to Adam Clayton Powell. So how did that her marriage to Powell affect her career?
Hazel married Reverend Adam Clayton Powell, Jr. in August of 1945. After establishing herself as one of, you know, the most popular nightclub acts in New York and performing in 5 Hollywood films and touring all over the world. Now, soon after they were married, however, Powell asked his wife to stop playing in nightclubs. He was concerned what his congregation at the Abyssinian Baptist Church would think of him having a wife who performed where whiskey was sold. That was Hazel's quote. Hazel thought that this was the height of hypocrisy because, after all, he met her in a nightclub. Not to mention, the two of them began their affair while Powell was still married to his first wife, Isabel Powell, who was a former Cotton Club dancer. Perhaps this request on his part was a way to smooth things over with his Harlem constituents, as well as his congregation, all of whom were privy to the adulterous affair that he and Hazel were having. And now that his standing in the community was at an all-time high as their congressional representative. But Hazel acquiesced to his request. She left Cafe Society after 7 years and gave up nightclubs. She then turned her attention to the classics and pursued a concert career, which, of course, presented its own set of challenges.
Okay. Well, you really bring Hazel Scott to life. What makes her a force still to be reckoned with today?
Well, her accomplishments are so noteworthy. She trained at the prestigious Juilliard School at 8 years old. She hosted her own radio show at 14, made her Broadway debut at 18, and became a breakout success at Cafe Society at 19. But perhaps more importantly, it's not only what she accomplished, but when. The late 1930s and early 40s, we all know, were extremely difficult times in American history, particularly for African Americans who, in addition to the Great Depression and the impending war, were suffering through pervasive racism in the South and in the North. Now, how Hazel Scott still a teenager, was able to break through these seemingly impenetrable barriers and become one of the nation's most popular crossover artists, performing solo all over the world and with some of the most prominent orchestras, while making a name for herself among New York's upper echelon of jazz musicians. It would give popular artists today a stellar example of what it meant to be a pioneer, a trailblazer, and an original.
All right. That's really a fascinating story, Karen. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much.
Okay. We've been speaking with Karen Chilton, author of Hazel Scott, The Pioneering Journey of a Jazz Pianist from Cafe Society to Hollywood to HUAC.
To learn more about our books, please visit us on the web at press.umich.edu. This podcast has been brought to you by the University of Michigan Press, copyright 2008, all rights reserved.